It's good to be in the house of the Lord reading this morning. Amen. Can everybody here be okay? It's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. It's a hot summer day. Looking forward to fall already. So just pray that everybody just be able to just relax this morning and enter into the presence of the Lord. And just pray for those that are missing today, those that are out for whatever reason they're out. Just remember them as part of the body. If you will have open your Bibles, we're going to start reading in Matthew chapter 1. Good to see each one of you. Matthew chapter 1. Just bear with us as we go through a bunch of these names. And if I pronounce them wrong, you just overlook that for me, please. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren, and Judas begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar, which is Tamar of the Old Testament. Phares begat Ezron, and Ezron begat Aram. Aram begot Amminadab, Amminadab begot Nahshon, Nahshon begot Solomon, Solomon begot Boaz of Rahab, which is Rahab of the Old Testament, and Boaz begot Obed of Ruth, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David the king, and David the king begot Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon begat Rehoboam, and Rehoboam begat Abiah, and Abiah begat Asa, and Asa begat Josaphat, Josaphat begat Joram, Joram begat Ozias, Ozias begat Jotham, and Jotham begat Ahaz, and Ahaz begat Ezekias, and Ezekias begat Manasseh, and Manasseh begat Ammon, Ammon begat Josias. Josias begat Jeconias and his brethren about the time that they were carried away into Babylon. And after that they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel begat Abiud, and Abiud begat Eliakim, and Eliakim begat Azor, Azor begat Zadok, and Zadok begat Achim, and Achim begat Eliud, Eliud begat Eleazar, Eleazar begat Mathan, and Mathan begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations of Abraham, from Abraham to David, are 14 generations. And from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. I read that because I wanted to see the genealogy in the natural leading up to the birth of Christ. And then I want to go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power at the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and all ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were a great voice, a voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. To her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Why, blessed are they which are called into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at the feet of him, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's just pray for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we want to just give this portion of script of service to you, Lord. Let's pray, God, that you would just have your way among us today and speak to every heart. We know it does not lie within the man to be able to open the bread of life. Well, Lord, it totally is with you, and so we just surrender to you and give that portion to you. Pray, God, that each person would be able to receive this morning what you have for them. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Title this morning, The Identification of the Bride of Christ. And I might put this little subtitle this morning, Redemption by Seed. And so I'll be talking a lot about seed this morning. So Brother Daniel is right on track. So, but before I did, I was sitting back there and I was thinking, you know, of course humans, we are creatures of habit and we get used to things and things become common to us. And so, but there's some things in life that should not become common to us. We should protect and make sure they don't. And so I just was thinking about all the things that the Lord has done. And, you know, we have this phrase that we talk about, milestones. When things happen, you have a milestone, something that's very, very significant. And God has done, there's been milestones throughout history, great things that has happened, things that only God could do.
Right.
And so they should be recognized and reverenced as a milestone, but somehow Satan has come along and caused people just to act like, man, it's no big deal, you know, just something that happened. And any time in Scripture, it's prophesied in Scripture, foretold an event that God is bringing to pass, that's a milestone. Because you have to realize when you see those things happening, God's program is moving right on, and nobody's stopping it. It's going to be just exactly, this very hour of ministry and this hour that has done the things that had the earmark and the presence of God with it is a great milestone. And so, but, you know, somehow or another, people just kind of brush it under the rug and act like it's no big deal. And so, but this is the closing out of history. Closing out of Gentile history, for sure, Gentiles. And so don't let that become just a common thing to you. Just realize that the message you're hearing is the final message that Gentile people are going to get. This is it. God will keep unfolding this message, but this is the thing that has come to give us a body change. And so just want to encourage you that this morning. So the identification of the Bride of Christ. In Revelation chapter 19, we saw there where the scripture said to be glad and rejoice. Now, this is the last book of the Bible. You've had all the history that we read through the scriptures, all through the history of the Bible. And the Bible is ending up, and it's coming to this place there and where God has judged the whore and the false churches and all the things there. And he reigns, God omnipotent. He has no limit in power. He's sovereign. And everything has all unfolded to the point. And with all the battles and all the things that's gone on, and Hitler and all the things of history and all the atrocities, and it's all been dealt with. And here we are, it's coming down and says, you know what? The Lord God Almighty, he reigneth. He's omnipotent. He reigneth.
Yeah.
Right? And so we need to remember that God still reigns,
yeah,
regardless of what's happening in Washington. God still reigns. And so he's having his way. He's having his way in the world and in this nation, and he's having his way in you.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. And so, but the scripture said there, after all that, rejoice. Don't be sad.
Right.
Rejoice.
Yeah.
Especially in heaven, heavenly places. Be glad and rejoice because the marriage of the Lamb
has come. According to Scripture, this is something people should be happy about.
Yeah.
I mean, you see right there where they were talking there, and everybody was rejoicing and praise God, hallelujah, and over, and all the multitudes and the angels and everything. Just be glad and rejoice because the marriage of the Lamb has come. And so after, you know, this is a significant event here because you realize God intended to have a helpmate. God intended to have a companion. He created us in the form that we are to match what He is, because we're made in His image.
Yeah.
So He made us a man to want a wife and a wife to have a husband, and the unity and all the joy and the bringing forth of life that can come from that. That He made us that way because that's the way He is. And on a spiritual level, He planned on having a wife.
Yeah.
Right? And He'd have to come down in the form of Jesus Christ, and that wife would be the bride of Christ. So the Scripture said after all these things had happened, God still had His way, and we should rejoice because the marriage of the Lamb has come. You can't have a marriage if you don't have a bride.
Yeah.
And so we realize that after such a long search and all this time, He's finally found one worthy. When the Jewish people of the Old Testament turned their back on God, they weren't worthy. When you come into the New Testament and all the churches come along, they denominated, had all these organizations and all that, they all rejected some form of the word. They rejected it. They can't be His wife.
Yeah.
Right? And so, but the Scriptures is telling us that finally, rejoice because the marriage of the Lamb has come. Why? Because we finally found, He's finally got a church who's fitting and worthy to stand by His side, by the side of the Creator of all things. That's a sublime thought.
Yeah, right.
That there would be a people, especially a sinful people, that somehow there would be some process of redemption, of the forgiving of sins and the Holy Spirit working in our lives to finally bring us to the place to where God could have a bride. That He would be willing to stand there and say, this is the one.
Yeah.
Who could do that? See, that's why the Scripture said He will present to Himself, because He's the only one that can do that, and we've got to let Him do that work in us to bring her to that status, to be bride.
Right.
And so there is a bride, but who is she? Who is this bride? We're titling this the identification of the bride of Christ. So what is her identification? If I said, go out here and find Joe, he lives down the street that I always refer to. What does Joe look like? What's his identification?
Yep.
If you walked up to him, how would you know him?
Right.
Right? Not that he'd pull a card out and say, here's my ID. But how would you know the bride? How would you know who she is if you met her? How would you know whether you was part of her?
Yeah, right.
Right? This is important because we must know this. And so, how would you know her if you ran into her? And so, what I want to say is that you can find her the same way you'd find Jesus. You'd find out the true identification of the bride of Christ the same way you'd find out who the true Messiah was. Right?
Yeah.
And so, what you find out is that Jesus was His true identification. This is why Brother Branham preached all these sermons that the identified Christ of all ages. Well, how was Christ identified in all ages? He was the Word coming to pass.
Yeah.
He was exactly what God said would come, and when He came, He was the fulfilling of those things. That was His identification. How would you have known back 2,000 years ago when you were if you were in Jerusalem and Jesus was there, how would you know that He was that Messiah? And I say that because millions missed it.
Yeah.
How would you have known that that was Him? And we can look back now and we can say we understand now because He was the fulfilling of prophecies and Scriptures that was telling He would come. And we can look back, but if you were there then and didn't know what you and I know now, how would you have looked at Him and known that He was the present day, the coming of the Messiah, the one that you need to hang all your hope in?
Right.
How would you have known that?
Yeah.
Right? And you'll find out that the elected of God have something in them that causes them to catch it and realize, and what they see and they recognize is that this, walking among us, this is that which was spoken by these prophets and by all these types and shadows.
Right.
This is that, and therefore I can accept it, but millions miss it and
right.
reject it.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And so he's identified in the scriptures. You would know him by scriptures. And I'm telling you that you will know the bride of Christ because she too is identified in scriptures. Just like Jesus was. And so if you wanted to know who she is, you could find her the same way you'd find Jesus. And so we want to talk about that this morning. We know, we realize that God had a seven-sealed message that he was going to open in the last days. This book of redemption was sealed with seven seals. And we couldn't even look on those things. According to scriptures, John wasn't even allowed to look on it.
Right.
And wept because nobody can open it. Redemption was not going to happen if somebody didn't open those seals, according to scriptures. And then so when the lion of the tribe of Judah came and he looked and it was actually a lamb that was slain, Jesus, the Lamb of God that was slain, he came and opened those seals, and then there was rejoicing because now we know redemption can happen. The names that are on that book can now be read. It can now be shown who's saved. And so that seven-seal book had to be opened, and here we are at the end time, and God has brought forth a message to reveal those seven seals. And that seventh seal revealed the coming of the Lord. Now, when you hear that, you think, oh, you're talking about the coming now. But I'm telling you that the seventh seal revealed the Lord, the coming of the Lord in the garden, through Moses, through Abraham, through David. That seventh seal took us back and led us to go back into the scriptures and see how Jesus, in that form, before he became Jesus, how that he came because the coming of the Lord was typed all along.
Right?
That's why Brother Branham, in the seventh seal, he said this seventh seal was typed through all the scriptures from beginning to end.
Right, yeah.
That's where he tells us also in another sermon there, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. He said if you read the Bible and you don't see Christ on every verse and line, you go back and read it again because you're reading it wrong. Because God was coming before he ever got here as Jesus Christ. He was coming by showing the way he was going to come. And then when Christ came, he was the fulfillment of all those things that had been foretold. And the whole revelation of the seventh seal was to go back and show how he comes. And so therefore, it will show us how he comes today.
Right.
It will show us the same pattern Christ identified in all ages. That, as Brother Graham said, so many sermons, the presence of God unrecognized, because that's what happened then. And so this seventh seal opening would show us how he came and also show us how he's going to come and how he is coming right now. And so but what I'm trying to share with you this morning is those same scriptures that says here's this Christ coming, here's this Lamb of God coming, and by the way, not too far away from him, in the same scriptures, you'll find his bride. She's in the scriptures too. And so if you want to know how she's going to come today and who she's going to be and what's going to happen, you'll find that identification in the scriptures like you find Jesus in the scriptures. That's the way you'll find her. And the elect of God today will catch that and recognize. You know, the scriptures tells us that Jesus, he found himself in the scriptures, obviously. Came to the place where he knew who he was. Right? Wouldn't we, as the bride of Christ, wouldn't we finally come to the place where we could say, you know, this may sound sacrilegious, but Jesus said to those people, he said, search the scriptures, Old Testament, right? Because that's all they had in his time. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they're just simply speaking of me. I'm the one. I'm the form of eternal life.
That's right.
And you've got to have me.
Right.
And he said, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Because it wasn't written all about them, and we're going to have a big program, and it's all, we're going to, no, it's about him. He's the one bringing redemption to pass.
Yeah.
And we got to catch that. Right? So then if he turns around and that mystery of God that was in Christ and now Christ pours out himself in a church and has a mystery, It's not about churches and big systems. It's about what God is doing in a people to bring that bride into being.
Amen.
That's what it's about. It's not always Southern. And we've been so distracted, the whole world has. And the message is to get us focused on who is Christ? How is he coming today? Who's the bride? How is she coming? How's this marriage of the Lamb unfolding? How's it coming? See? Because it's something God's doing. And so that seventh seal showed those things, took us back and showed it, and it'll show us her too. So I'll just talk just a little bit about how it showed him. And none of this was new stuff, but the Lord put this on me to go over this again. So the scriptures showed how he would come, how Jesus would come. So let's talk about Adam. You know, scriptures, Adam was, you know, he was the first of humanity, first beginning of a species of man or whatever. The scripture said Jesus is the second Adam. He is an Adam also. And Adam is the beginning of a genealogy of people. So Christ would be a beginning of a family on earth, right? And so Adam was one who, his wife, you know, failed, and he gave himself for her. We know in the scriptures that she came from him. God put him to sleep. She came from him, and then God brought her to him. She failed, and instead of just backing off and letting God kill her because she had sinned, Adam went to her and was partakers also.
Yeah.
Adam, and you have to... understand, and this is all about seed, okay? This whole thing, redemption by seed. Because the fall at the beginning came by seed.
Right.
And the antidote to anything, as Brother Brent said, is the opposite, right?
Yeah.
So if the fall came by seed, then the redemption comes by seed.
Yeah.
And this is what we're talking about today. All the redemption process, redeeming by seed through this whole thing. So Adam... when the serpent got to her and impregnated her, Adam quickly went to her and did the same thing, knowing that God cannot kill his own. He doesn't curse his own, to put it that way. And so when he went to her quickly and impregnated her also, that's why she had twins. Read the scriptures.
Right.
Right? Adam saved her by seed.
Yeah.
Because if he hadn't done that, God would have slew her, right? So Adam was partakers of that to save her. These all were types of Jesus Christ. And when he was on Calvary, and when he was dead and they stabbed him, the same thing that came out of his side comes out with the birth of a woman, giving birth to a child, water and blood.
Yeah, right.
So there was that type of the church was born out of the side of Jesus, and this church is now brought to him as a wife, just like Eve was brought to Adam as wife, right? And so Jesus partook, he took our sins. He wasn't a sinner, but he took our sins upon him that he might save us. So when you see there in Adam, that was Christ coming. Christ started coming right there when he foretold what he would do on Calvary. That was Christ coming, and the seventh seal revealing that to us.
Yeah.
So Adam was a type of that. We look at the life of Abraham. Abraham had the promise of God, just like Christ has the promise of God. Abraham had that promise, and he had a wife who was also part of that promise, but she didn't believe it. She didn't know she was. So things had to happen in Abraham's life and in Sarah's life to get to the place where Sarah would understand and believe also. And so Abraham was one who had the promise, and his wife also was included in that promise. So then the bride of Christ is part of Christ. We just saw where she's born from him out of his side. But now she's part of him. And even though the church doesn't quite fully believe and understand everything God's doing through this gospel, events have to bring the church to the place where she believes and understands, I'm part of this same Christ. Like when Sarah laughed, God would have slew her, but he couldn't because she was part of Abraham.
Right.
We'll talk about that a little bit more. So that was a type of Christ. We know the story of Joseph, where Joseph was loved by his father, hated by his brothers. He was sold into Egypt, became a slave, but went down into the dungeon, down into the pit there, and then was brought out of the pit and exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh, where he was the highest position in the land except for Pharaoh himself. While he was in that position, he was given a Gentile wife, because he was Jewish. Right? And Jews were supposed to marry. He was given a Gentile wife and then had children by her.
Yep.
Then eventually Joseph, his brothers came on hard times, and they had to come to him for help. And then they didn't know it was him. And then he revealed himself to his brothers, and he made this statement. He said, "You meant it for evil when you sold me into Egypt. You treated me evil. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good to send me ahead of you that I might preserve life, to preserve." See? And so that was Jesus. Jesus was loved of God, right? But he was hated by his own people.
Right?
His own. He was sold out, went down into the pit, just like Joseph went down in the pit. He was to come out of the resurrection and exalted to the right hand of God, to the highest position there is. Right?
Right. That's right.
And while he's there, who's this? Who's the identification of the bride of Christ? While he was at that position, he gets a Gentile wife. Not a Jewish wife.
Right.
A Gentile wife.
Right.
In other words, people that aren't Jews. Right? Now, there can be Jewish people who can believe the gospel like we. There's a few. But it's a Gentile wife. And at some point, he's going to reveal himself to those Jews that rejected him and didn't realize who he was.
That's right.
Right? So there Joseph was a type. So now, you can see how he was a type of Christ.
Right.
Right? So remember the serpent on a pole when the children of Israel, they were murmuring against Moses, and the snakes come and bite it, bit them. And so God told Moses, take this, make a serpent out of brass, lift it up on a pole, and if the people look to that, they'll be saved and not die from the bite of the serpent. That was Christ. That was Christ in prefigure, because Jesus Christ, judgment in the Bible, is represented by brass, and sin by the serpent. So when they lifted that serpent up on a pole, that was sin divinely judged when it was lifted up for the people to look at.
Right.
And Jesus said, "I must be lifted up, and if I be lifted up, I'll draw them in." And so you realize Jesus hung on the cross, and we could look to that. And so just like it was with Moses there, when the people would look to that serpent that was divinely judged, they could be saved from being bitten from the serpent.
Right.
The sin that we were born in, the bite of the serpent, if we'll look to Calvary and we can see that on the cross, sin was divinely judged by Jesus Christ, then we can be saved from our sins. That was a type of Christ in the Old Testament. And so we know about David. David was king, but David was a rejected king. Stood over Jerusalem and cried and wept and says, you know, because he was a rejected king. And then hundreds of years later, Jesus, as a rejected king, stood on the same mountain, looked down on Jerusalem, said the same thing. So all these things in the old, you know, Jesus, to know him and understand who he was, would be simply to go back and say, "Now, wait a minute. I remember David saying, 'My God, my God, my God, why has thou forsaken me?'"
Yeah.
Right? I remember David saying that. I remember Moses, well, he lifted up the serpent. So here's Jesus lifted up, you know. And so you go and you can see him, his identification by the scriptures that said he would come. And all of that was the coming of the Lord, culminating in when he actually came.
Right.
And his coming was a process of time. Even his physical coming was 33 years. It wasn't like, oh, here, you know, in the blink of an eye, here he is. No, it was 33-year unfolding of events that brought him to the place where he fulfilled what he was supposed to fulfill.
That's right.
And I tell you, it's the same thing today. This coming of the Lord today, this coming of bride coming to maturity, it's not a thing that happens like that.
That's right.
It's a process of time, a series of events that unfolds that brings her to the full manifestation of what she's called to be in this hour.
Amen.
And how would you know it? You can look back and see it in the scriptures.
That's right.
I've already talked about some of it, just saying this. And so all of those things pointed out to who he would be, and that's how you'd know him. If you were back then, that's how you would have known him. And that's how you know him today. So how is it the millions missed him? How is it? Brother Bam made this statement. We share this. You know, that's what we as ministers of the gospel, of the message, do. We preach what the messenger preached. And so if I was stood here and would say it was something else, then it wouldn't be right, see? Brother Bam preached, and he said, this scripture there, it said, there they crucified him. And this is what he said. There, in the most holy place in Jerusalem, most holy place in the world. If you look back and say, oh man, that's where God is. That's a holy people. There, where the most holy place in the world, there they, supposed to be the most holy people in the world. Yeah. Right? They knew the scrolls left and right. This is what Brother Bam said. They could have a scroll and drive a pen through it and tell you every word that pen went through.
Yeah.
And you may think that's not possible, but it is. You can be that studied and that learned and that disciplined in your own, in whatever it is you're doing, that you can be that good at it. Because we're little gods, right? And so, there they, the most holy people in the world, crucified the worst death that a person could have by suffocation, pain and suffocation, having to pick yourself up and let yourself down over and over until you're so exhausted you can't pick yourself up anymore, and then you smother. Yeah. Right? Read on it. Study it. What it is. There they crucified him, the most holy, righteous one that ever would ever live. How did they do that? And so, the way they did, because they were holy people. Remember, I heard Brother Bill saying yesterday, he said, a lie has to have a certain amount of truth in it to be believable.
Sure.
He gave the example. He said, yeah, if you know, so you said, yeah, Brother Branham, he was preaching in such and such place, and he preached here at this, and this was the topic, and he did all that, and he reached down and picked up a drink of liquor. He said, that's a lie. But most of it was true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Most were true because he was there and he was preaching on a certain topic. And so they're saying, you have to realize, those people, they were religious, mostly religious, but something was wrong.
That's right.
And that something is what made them miss him. And here's what it was. They had created their own traditions. They added traditions. You can look it up and read about it. They had oral traditions and all these things. And so here it is, you know, people, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, Satan's going to make you want to do things you ought not do, okay? And so here's these religious leaders, and if you know, they're the priests, the high priests, and they're doing all these things, and if their, you know, their lifestyle, their dedication to the Word and stuff is no different than all the people, then they don't stand out. But people without the Holy Ghost, you want prestige. You want people to recognize you, and you want to be somebody. When the Holy Ghost comes to you, you want to humble yourself. But you want to be somebody, and so it's not good enough just to worship God like God gives us and everybody else does it. But we want to add some things. We want prestige, so we're going to add traditions and add sayings and make things a little more and get to the place where the priesthood can be in this high position compared to the people. Isn't that what history tells us happened? That's what they did. And so anytime you have ministry and ones act like they're higher than you, you know you've got a problem. Right? And I can say that as a minister.
Yeah.
Right? Brother Daniels, hey, amen. Right? But this is what they did. And it got to the place where this thing, this system they created that gave them this feeling of worth and so much superiority than everybody else, this thing became more important to them than the word portion that they did have. It was that that caused them to miss him. Because he didn't come in the image of their system.
Yep.
He didn't come obeying and agreeing with their traditions and all the things they had added of the washing of pots and pans and all that. If you've read your Bible, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
This is why they missed him.
Yep.
Instead of being able to go back and see what you know, all, Joseph and all the types and saying, man, this is him.
Yeah.
They were so tied up in a system of men, so they just couldn't see that. They were blinded to it, and they rejected it.
Yeah.
We know they had to, so that he would die for their sins, our sins. But this is Bible, and this is history, what I'm talking about, what they did.
Right.
They were so caught up in the traditions that they could not accept him. And I say this because, who is this bride? How will you know her? You'll know her because it's exactly what the Bible said. But will man-made traditions and man-made systems be able to recognize her? And the answer is no. They won't see it. Which, as the scripture said, I think when Stephen, my wife and I was reading another about Stephen, he says, which of the prophets have you not persecuted and killed and so forth? Tell me which one of them wasn't rejected, right? Mm-hmm. Moses rejected,
yeah.
Right? David rejected. Elijah rejected. Mm-hmm. Jesus rejected. John rejected. Disciples rejected.
Right.
But then in today, we're all going to be accepted. So, it's a gospel of blood.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And so, when men are religious, but they have their own things they've added, and it's obvious that they think more highly of what they've added because they've added it. The gospel is enough in itself. We don't need to add something to it.
That's right.
But when they add something to it, that means, oh, there's it. And now they put more emphasis on the thing they added because they felt like they needed to add it. And it's that right there that causes these churches to miss what God's doing in this day. Because what God's doing in this day did not come through all that. Doesn't agree with all that. Years ago, I preached a service every week, once a week, at a Baptist church up here in Mountainburg for 6 months. And during that time, they had a revival. Some big person comes in. Not blasting Baptist, but I'm telling you, they all do it. Everyone missed something because of their traditions and the things they added. And so this man was, you know, had a guy, high-powered, somebody come in, preach a revival, place was packed, they're all having, and at the end of service, they had some people went up and prayed, went to the altar, and repented. And at the end, the evangelist said, talking about the ones that had repented, he said, you know what just happened in heaven? Just now, in heaven, got the book out, wrote their names on the book. See, Brother Daniel shaking his head, no. That's not what the scripture says.
No.
See? And you say, well, what difference does it make? Makes a lot of, I mean, what portion of the word is okay for us to just push to the side?
No.
Everything God says is for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of overcoming we need today is not something that I did, but I want God to go back, or something you did. We want to go back and find in the scriptures that God said, we're part of the promise even though we have failures.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're going to be there because of what he's done, not what I've done.
That's
and
right.
My name was on that book before the foundation of the world, not just tonight when I decided to repent.
Right.
You know, see what I'm saying? And when you water it down, it takes the strength of the gospel out of what we need. That might have been fine for some other day, but that won't work right now. We've got to have full truth now.
Yeah.
And that's why God has given it. And so that's just an example of how they add your thoughts and they change things because, you know, I guess you could actually say because they really don't have that walk with the Lord that God has provided for us to have. They feel like they've got to change things and add things and make a system of man. That's why denominational systems is wrong. It's okay to have, we have our fellowship here, and you could say we're a denomination, but we're not. We're believers who fellowship together. And we have one thing that we look to, and that is the fulfillment of word and the Holy Ghost in the midst of the church to bring us where we need to be.
Amen.
We don't need hierarchies of men and all kinds of things like that to and prestigiousness. That's nonsense. So, You can see his bride the same way, and systems of man will not see that as a legitimate move of God. And here's the thing. Look at a hybrid religion. You take a genuine seed of God that if you plant it, it'll keep producing a move of God, a genuine move of God. You take something and add some oral tradition, some little something to it, you'll never produce a move of God from that again because you've hybridized it.
That's right.
That's why we cannot take in some man-made thought. It's got to be pure word. Because if we take something in, it'll never produce a move of God ever again. And this is what happened to the Jewish people, Jewish nation. They had added things, they had become a hybrid religion, and there was no way that God could birth out of them. And then when he did birth a move that comes from somewhere else, they couldn't accept it because it wasn't part of them.
Right.
And the same thing today, God birthing a move to bring a bride into being for this marriage that's taking place, marriage of the Lamb.
Right.
And it has to come some other way because they had rejected him. Even Laodicean scripture said right there that he was on the outside knocking, trying to get in. Jesus was outside the church knocking, trying to get back into the very church he had paid his blood for.
Right.
So you see, he couldn't bring it up to those systems, had to come outside of that. That's why John the Baptist had to come. He was in line to be priest. And his dad, had to pass off the scene and so forth. And John went out in the wilderness. And John did not continue on that in that system as a priest. He had to leave that. And then God used him to forerun the Messiah.
Right.
I wonder why Brother Branham, being part of the Missionary Baptist Church, had to leave that.
Right.
Before, you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To be a forerunner. So not only just the bride, but even the ministry of William Branham. How do we know that that's genuinely sent from God? You can go back and see it all through the scriptures.
Yeah.
All through the scriptures. Having scriptural identification. So she comes the same way, but she won't be noticed. She'll be rejected. So let's look at her identification just for a little bit in the scriptures. And when I read in Matthew there, that reading that genealogy, there were several names there that I mentioned there, that Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth. We're going to talk about them, and then we're also going to talk about Eve, Sarah, and Esther also real quick. So we already said a little bit about Eve. Eve was part of Adam. She was in Adam, and God took her out and brought her to Adam. And so, and God brought her to Adam, she was still Adam. Called their name Adam. She was still Adam. It's another part of Adam. And so this shows you that the church come from Christ. And it's still Christ. And that's why when Paul was persecuting the church and the light shone before him and he fell down blind and the voice said, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? Paul could have said, I'm not persecuting you. I'm persecuting these people over here called Christians. But Jesus said, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. Why are you doing that? Well, why? Because that church was his body.
Yeah.
See?
Right.
Like Adam and Eve. Eve was still part of Adam. Like Sarah was part of Abraham and so forth. So how do you know this bride? What's going to be characteristics about her? She's going to be the word too.
Yeah.
And if you persecute her, you're persecuting him. You must know this. That as a part of the bride of Christ, you are part of his body. You're him.
Yeah.
And though Eve was the weaker vessel and fell, as we said a while ago, he was her redeemer because he went and her husband took sin also, placed seed there so that she wouldn't be slain. Right? So that shows you that Christ will come to his people and will impregnate them with his word or else God would destroy us. Right? So we know what to expect. We know that a true move of God in this day has got to be the word birthed in our heart, not traditions of man.
Yeah.
If you look at Sarah, Abraham and Sarah was his wife, and she was included in the promise, but she doubted. I mentioned that a while ago. She doubted. And things had to happen so that she could have confidence. The scripture said Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed because she originally didn't have that. But she had to, and if you'll look, I'll tell you here in just a moment what happened. But before she got to the place where she actually conceived from Abraham, there were several attempts, to at least two attempts of kings, different kings, who wanted to take Sarah to be wife. Now, look at this. The promise is to Jesus, and he's got a wife.
Yeah.
The promise was Abraham and his wife, Sarah.
Yeah.
She's included, even if she didn't know it. And before she come to know it fully, there were a couple of attempts of great kings in the earth who tried to take her and make her wife, which would mean placing seed.
Right.
But that would be wrong because she's the promise and the seed was to come from Abraham. And God says, you're not going to do that.
Right.
In other words, as Brother Daniel said, protecting that seed. God protected Sarah's womb and protected from the king of Egypt and from Abimelech. Both of them, he rebuked them and kept them from doing that.
Yep.
Because why? Because she belonged to Abraham.
Right.
And I'm telling you that God has a predestinated wife that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's been attempts of Satan and attempts of Satan. And there might be all kinds of denominations, but I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the bride, attempts of Satan to place false teaching in her heart, the womb of her heart. And God says, you're not going to do it because she predestinated to receive this end time message and will do it.
Right.
She predestinated to do that. And so Sarah needed to receive strength to conceive seed. And what did that? Mm-hmm. One day, when they're sitting out there, and these three come walking up, three angels, one of them was God, Elohim. The other two were just two angels.
Yeah.
He walked up there. And Abraham had already been told he's going to be a father of nations and so forth, and name change and all that. But he's standing there, that God standing there in flesh. Now, God can appear however he wants. He can appear and look like a bearded man that walked up and down the shores of Galilee. He can also look like somebody and you not even know that it's him and it still be him.
Yep.
Right? Just read your scriptures. He appeared to them in a different form and they didn't even know it. They didn't know who he was. See, we can say those things because we've got the Bible to back it up. He could appear today and people wouldn't even know it was him in a form. Doesn't mean that that's the form that hung on the cross and died and suffered, but it's still him nonetheless. Because at any time God would come into a man and do things only God can do, that's an appearing of that same Son of Man.
Right?
So he comes up, and here's God in flesh, and Abraham knew because he said, my Lord, because Abraham being who he was, he, my Lord, but Lot seems to have said, my Lord's.
That's right.
Because Lot wasn't predestinated part of that, see, but Abraham said, my Lord, and in God in the form of flesh standing there with his back turned to Sarah in the tent, and he says, about this time next year, I'll visit you and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah in the tent laughs and says, me, old, had pleasure with my Lord? And here's this being that, not even in there with his back turned, and says, why did she laugh?
Yeah.
And Sarah denied it. And the way Brother Ram says, what, lie in the presence of God?
Yeah.
He just would. But God couldn't kill her because she was part of Abraham and part of the promise.
That's right.
There was no way that he could destroy her.
Right.
She was in it, hooked in. She's part of it, right? So, but then here now she's hearing all these things that Abraham has told her. And now this stranger walks up and here's this stranger and he's telling the thoughts and intents of the heart and knows this whole thing. How does he know me? And that caused her to have strength to receive. Say, okay, now it's not Hagar. It's not a seed from some other way, but me.
Yeah.
I'm part of this one. And so I ask you, what did God send this ministry today for? Mm-hmm. Listen, people can say whatever they want to, but that was a genuine gift of God, of a man standing there knowing the thoughts and intents of the hearts of the people,
right,
even with his back turned. Thousands of times, and we're personal friends with many of them who who were there and looking for Brother Forrest Farmer's testimony. His dad went there, and they, you know, I'll sit so far back, never met Brother Branham. Brother Branham had no idea he was going to be there, and here he is there with Forrest down in the floor underneath the seat there where Brother Branham couldn't see it, with a problem with his feet, and Brother Branham calls him out. You can hear it on tape. Mr. Farmer, you got a child there with a problem with his feet?
Yep.
Man can't do that. Don't make it some trivial something. It's a milestone. Keep it as a milestone, because man can't do that, and God doesn't just throw that out there any time.
That's right.
There's a reason why this has happened.
Right.
Because we were to see that gift, and as the bride of Christ, to say, you know what? I am part of it.
Amen.
I am part of this.
That's right.
I am the bride of Christ, and He is going to produce in me this life that I long to produce. He's going to do it. Not another. It'll be me. Because the discernment caused that.
Amen.
That's why God sent this ministry to do this.
Amen.
And people just say, oh, you know, try to make it out like it was a fault, something or other. Mm-hmm. Brother Sidney Dean, I remember him telling, in a meeting, Brother Branham, it's a woman come up with a big, big old growth, cancer on her face. How many know Brother Sidney, right?
Amen.
He's passed on now, but Brother Sidney said, Brother Branham said to everybody, bow your head. He said, I wasn't trying to be disrespectful. I just, for some reason, I didn't bow my head. A lot of people got in trouble for, you know, they got, you know. But he said, I just, and I think God knew that Brother Sidney wasn't. I think God let him see so that he could tell us.
Yes.
As witnesses, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, as Brother Tim sung.
Yeah.
Right? Testimonies. Tell you, I was there, I saw it, and he called me out, and it was my feet, and I was in the floor, and this is what happened. Within a week, my feet were fine.
Yeah.
These are things really happened. Jesus really did those things, but there really were people who couldn't see it and ignored it and crucified it.
Yeah.
These things really happened, but there's a world out there that wants it gone.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? It's just a repeat, because it's her. Brother Sidney said, when Brother Branham put his hands over on that woman to pray for her, he said her face began to glow. And he said when he was finished praying for her, her face was as clean and smooth as could be. That's the God we serve. And that's what a ministry was sent here for us to see.
Right.
So our faith could be increased to conceive seed like Sarah's. Now I'm showing you Jesus was identified in scriptures, and that's how you would know it. And I'm showing you that she was identified in scriptures, and that's how you'll know her, and that's how you'll know what to expect in your own life.
Yep.
Because you can see it identified in scriptures.
Amen.
We see God doing in our day exactly what happened in Eve, what happened in Sarah, and we'll talk about some more. Because all of these things are, thus saith the Lord, this is how she will come, and this will be her identification. This is how you'll know it's her.
Yeah.
And so, even though Sarah doubted, and even though she laughed at the promise of God, redemption by seed was more powerful than her failures.
Mm-hmm.
The fall came by seed placement. Redemption comes by seed placement.
That's right.
It just depends on who that seed comes from. Has to come from God. We read about Tamar. You read Tamar. So Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob had 12 patriarchs, and one of them was Judah. And Judah had three sons, and the oldest one married Tamar. Well, the scripture said he was wicked before the Lord, and so the Lord slew him. And God had made a custom for them. Hey, if your oldest brother dies and doesn't have a child by the wife, the next one down is a kinsman redeemer, he's to go into her, and when she has a child by him, that child will carry on the inheritance in the land of the deceased husband, and so the deceased husband's name and his inheritance won't be gone away. It'll carry on. This brother will be the kinsman redeemer to redeem his brother's name.
Right?
Right. So, he gave the second son, and the second son, instead of impregnating her, he withdrew himself. And so God slew him. Because he didn't perform the redemptive rite like he's supposed to. These were types of Christ.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't do it. And so Judah said, well, this woman's cursed. I'm just my words. And he wouldn't give that third son to her.
Yeah.
Well, Tamar, she realized, you know what? It's my right to give birth to that seed.
Yeah.
And he's not doing it. He's not doing what he's supposed to. He's not doing what God told him to do. And she was willing to go after what God said was rightfully hers, even to the point that she acted like a harlot. She went out there and dressed up like a harlot and stood by the way so that when Judah, her father-in-law, come along, she enticed him and he went to her and she became impregnated by the same seed line that she should have had.
Right.
And we would look back and say, oh, that's terrible. A woman and her father-in-law and all that. Look at it from redemption.
Right.
Look at it from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. She had a revelation. This belongs to me, and she was willing to, you know, and she knew what the risk was to be impregnated and not being married was to be stoned, was to be killed because of it. But her, the burning of the revelation in her heart was so strong, she was willing to face that because she knew that seed belonged to her.
Yeah.
And so she did, and well, a few months go by, she's found to be pregnant, and they're ready to kill her. Well, let me back up. So the night that she was there, she's like, well, what are you going to give me for payment? He's, well, I can bring you a kid from the flock or whatever. But meanwhile, here's my ring, my signet, and my staff.
Right.
You take that, and when we come back, I'll give you the lamb or whatever, and I'll take my ring and signet back. Right?
Yeah.
Now, I guess he goes back, she's not there, he's whatever. But 3 months later, or however long it was, when she's found to be pregnant, they want to kill her because of that. She presents, and the scriptures call it tokens.
Yeah.
She presented the tokens. She brought forth, because they're going to say, who did this? Who's the man? And she brought forth the ring, the signet, and the staff. And Judah said, she's more righteous than I am. She's holding to the word of God more than I was.
Mm-hmm.
See the revelation?
Yeah.
It's the revealed word that we have to connect to. And it goes beyond all these other things.
Yeah.
So that act would be considered a bad act, but in God's economy, because it was redemption she was looking for, he counted her more righteous than Judah.
Right.
That's Tamar. Right? She bore a son that was in the lineage, just like Sarah did.
Right.
She bore a son that was in the lineage we just read, bringing Christ in the natural.
Yeah.
She was saved by seed.
Right.
Think about it. She was saved by seed. She showed tokens of who she was. The token showed who she was and who she had been with.
That's right.
The token showed what was rightfully hers.
Yes.
That she had to go and do what she did to get it. But the token answered and said, I'll tell you who this woman is.
Mm-hmm.
Now keep in mind, this is the bride at the end time. Who's this bride? Who's this one that's going around preaching? I'll show you who she is. She's got the tokens.
That's right.
To show who she is.
Amen.
Amen. We find it Rahab. You know, when Joshua was coming in and they were going to come across the Jordan, come in and take over the land, first city they come to, Jericho. Rahab was not acting like a harlot. She was a harlot because she had to have a lifestyle of living. And so her house was right on the wall. And Jericho's walls were very, very significant. I think they could run chariot races around the top. They were so wide.
Yeah.
You know, cities was fortification. So her house is on the wall. So she can, out her window, she could get all kinds of customers come in, right? It would be a very nice place to have if you were going to be a harlot, right? But judgment's coming into the land is going to destroy all of them. Because Joshua comes in with the army of God, and they've crossed over, and they're fixing to take over, and everything, you know, everything that they're passing through being destroyed because they're God's people. And so judgment was coming to Rahab and her house and her home and her people. They're all cursed, kind of like this world today.
Yep.
It's all cursed. It's coming.
Right.
Right? She was there. But these messengers came from Joshua, and she received them messengers. She received the messengers.
Right.
And she believed what they had to believe, what they had to say. And she believed that judgment was coming. And she knew she was in trouble, and she wanted to be saved. And so she even hid these men in the rooftop or whatever, and they got away. But they told her, said, "Now, you take this token." She had this token there, and it said, "Hang this scarlet thread, scarlet rope or whatever it was, however big it was, you hang this out your window." So now the same window, so the guys could say, "Oh yeah, see, that's the window. Go in there, and then that's where you can find her." That same window, now she's hanging out a token. Think of us in this day. What is our token that we're hanging? What is it we're putting out there that shows we're believing?
Right.
There's got to be something we put out there that shows we believe.
Yes.
So she hangs us out there to show that she's believing the message. And so she displayed that token, and by doing it, we find out she saved herself and her house. Who's this bride today? She's a people who believe, apply the token, display it, and not only save their own selves, but their house.
That's right.
Their household.
Right.
Anybody that can get underneath that token.
Yeah.
Right.
Amen? That's who she is. We can believe that promise for us today because I'm showing it in the scriptures.
Yeah. Right.
There it is. We can believe for these things. So when everything went down and they come in, you know, they marched around the walls one day, one time. 2 days, second day, one time. 3rd day, one time. But on the 7th day, they went around it 7 times. And the scripture said the walls of the city fell flat. They didn't just fall and be crumbled in big heaps. Fell flat. So in my mind, God just let it sink right into the ground because it fell flat. And Israel come in there. But guess what didn't fall? Mm-hmm. Her house.
Right.
That was on the wall, and the walls fell flat, but her wall, so it was just totally wiped out except this one place where Rahab was. You've got to believe God will keep you regardless of how bad this world crumbles. God will keep you.
Amen.
So there's that one place left standing right there. And by the way, it wasn't just one message. See, in all the 7 church ages, one trumpet sound, a messenger, a message. 2nd church age of trumpet sounds, just like they did in March, right? But on the 7th day, under the 7th church age, with the 7th messenger, he goes back and there are 7 trumpets that sound, a message from every one of those 7 church ages that are blown in one time, in one movement. That's what makes the thing crumble.
Yeah.
Not just one message one day, but a 7 messages in one day. Right? And I'm saying because when the 7 seals opened, they went back and pulled up every one of those 7 church age messages, their message, and all the things, and revealed it all in one sermon. One message. I don't mean one night, but in the message. So, she displayed this token, saved her family, and God honored that token. Not just the general, not just the armies, and said, "Now when you go in there, don't destroy anybody in that house." But even God honored it because the whole place fell except for that.
Yeah, right.
Right? God will honor what seemingly is just a message coming from some men, but it's God's message, and He will honor it.
Yeah.
So we know that Rahab married a general in the army of Israel,
right. Yeah.
And birthed part of the seed line of Christ. Can we, in this day, as a Gentile, with all the failures that we've had, can we believe a message and display a token? And marry the greatest general there is, which is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, mighty in battle.
Amen.
Can we do that? Yes, we can, because the Scripture said so.
Amen.
See our identification? This is her identification in Scriptures, like His was.
Yeah.
And brother, sister, this is the only way you get it. Mm-hmm. It don't come any other way. Right there, through the revelation of the Word, this is that which was said, and I'm part of it.
Amen.
That's what it is. She bore that son that was in there. And so she was saved by faith and by the seed that she received because she had faith. Amen?
Amen.
What happened to her testimony as a harlot after that? She had a good name in Israel.
Amen.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
God can take your life and make it good.
Amen.
Might not to the world, but in His economy, that's all we care about anyways. What does God say?
Right.
Amen. She no longer had that testimony. So, redemption by seed is greater than our sins.
Amen.
Amen.
We
go to the story of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabitess. And Naomi was a type of Israel. And Naomi and her husband, they were supposed to stay in the promised land. And they left the promised land and they went over to Moab. And so Naomi is a type of the nation of Israel. Well, Naomi's two boys married a couple of Moabite women, Gentile women. Well, the husband died, the sons died, trouble came, and so Naomi was in trouble. She had nothing, she had no income, whatever, so she just went right back to Israel, returning back to where she should have been, right, returning back to the Word. She's going back to the place where God could fulfill His promise, and in the process, she had these two Gentile daughters, and one of them decided just to stay in Moab, but Ruth was so in love with Naomi, so in love with Naomi's God and her traditions, her ways, and so forth, that she said, I'm going back to Israel with you. Even though I'm a Gentile, I'm going with you. And your God will be my God, right? And I'll go. And so what she was doing is she was a Gentile, but she was staying true to the God, the real God of Israel,
yeah.
Right? And so she went back there, and then just to cut it short, but in her going back, now, Naomi, which is the type of Israel, Naomi's husbands are all dead, and so they've got a possession of land back there, belongs to the family, but she can't do nothing with it because there's no male to carry the name on. So she's undone. She needs redeemed. She needs redemption.
Yeah.
Well, there's another kinsman redeemer thing, and that is the nearest of kin can do this, right? Remember nearest of kin going in and giving seed? Mm-hmm. Right? That's what was supposed to happen. So there would be a nearest kinsman who could redeem back. In other words, somebody that could perform the act of redemption and could restore Naomi and have a child through, a child from her that would carry her lineage on of her husband's, and they would have that land and would lose it. So there was one, and it was Boaz. Boaz was a kinsman redeemer. And Boaz was also the Lord of the harvest. Right? The one who sends out laborers. Mm-hmm. The one who sends out messengers.
Right.
The one who says, leave some grain for her.
Yeah.
Is Lord of the harvest. And he was nearest kin, and there actually was one who was nearer than him, but they could not do the rite of redemption. And so, in order to do this rite of redemption, he had to marry this Gentile wife and have a child by her, and then that child would carry on the name of Naomi's husband and sons, and take that land and go on with it as though nothing had happened. Boaz was the kinsman redeemer, and he did that. He took her to be wife and brought forth lineage. Amen? And so Naomi was restored by a child that was birthed by a Gentile. Now God is going to return to the Jews.
Yeah, right.
But in order to do so, he has to have a move of God and place his seed within a Gentile people that'll birth this thing that's going to restore Israel. And brother, you see it in the scriptures, and Brother Rem said, as the Jews brought the gospel to the Gentiles will take it back to the Jews. We don't understand how that'll work. But that's what he said, and that's scripture, right? Because there it was. God used a Gentile to restore Israel. And so there's another identification of what God's doing in our day, right there. We know the story of Esther. I'm almost done. The story of Esther. Esther was a Jewish person there, and there was a king, Ahasuerus, that was king over like 127 provinces. This was when they were in exile, and so he was not a Jewish king. But here's the story of it. When the king of pretty much the entire earth at that time, he had so many provinces, so much. When that king had called for his wife to come stand by his side, she refused. When the Lord Jesus Christ has called for a church to come and stand by him as a virtuous bride, she refused.
Yeah.
Israel refused. The church ages through all the ages, they refused. The Pentecostals, Baptists, Methodists, I know that's strong, but because they reject word, they're rejecting him. That's the equation. See, come, present, be present by the word, and they said, no, we're not going to come be present by the word.
Right.
Scripture said, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no place where they're baptizing any other way, but they said, no, we're going to baptize in titles. They rejected coming and standing by the king when he called for it. So they can't be wife. See, this is why there's a marriage supper, and it took a while, and finally rejoice. We finally got one. Because so many churches and so many people let down on the word and didn't accept it and didn't let that be the full ultimate. They had their traditions and so forth. They want to mix with it. So that's the story. So when the king called for Vashti, the queen, she was beautiful, but she wouldn't come and obey the king and stand there. And so she was put away, and they sought one to replace her.
That's right.
And Esther was found to be a virtuous woman. And so she went into the king, and there's so all these stories we can go into for a long time on. But she found favor in the eyes of the king, and he loved her. And he took her and made her queen. Right? So the church has done failed. Now we got to find one who will do what the king, will be pleasing to the king.
Right.
And we found one. And she come into the presence of the king. And he loved her and made her queen. And the scripture said that when she went into the presence of the king, it was on the 10th month of the 7th year of his reign. We've talked about this before. Who is this end time bride that's pleasing the king? And it's the one who, under the 7th church age messenger, right? At Revelation 10:7, when in the days of the voice of the 7th angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God be finished. And then you see John taking the book now that he couldn't normally take, but now he can take it because now the seals have been opened. And so you see the type there. The bride goes into the presence of the king under 10:7. Revelation 10:7. And because of her relationship with her husband, being the queen, she was able to save her people. There's the
right.
Saving of your people again.
Right.
So you see, the scriptures is telling us who we are. Mm-hmm. But you've got to accept those things. You've got to believe it.
Yeah.
All of these were saved by seed.
Yeah.
By their connection to their husband. This is why there's a marriage of the Lamb. So we would know that we are redeemed by this seed message.
Amen.
That has come in our day. Which is not another Christ. It's the same Christ. But the one that was to come today, just like the scripture said it would come today.
Yeah.
Right? It would come through a prophet. Behold, Elias shall come and restore all things. Right? We read that the other day. And so, as I said, the fall came by seed, redemption come by seed. And this message is not a man. Man couldn't do this. Man could not preach a message and make it dovetail with the Bible from beginning to end like what we're talking about.
Right.
This is God. So this message brought us the seed from Christ to impregnate us with a message that is Christ, offspring of Christ. Amen. Every one of these women, whenever they were married, received new status. Right?
Right.
And I wonder when Brother Bram was standing there, you've heard this many times, when he was preaching the seals, and he said, well, I don't even remember what the point it was he was pushing. He said, but that just makes me tremble. He said, I'm going to call you bride so that you'll understand. A man that no doubt had visitations from the Lord every day, pretty much almost every day of his life. There was a few times there where he had spells. But, and like he said, surely God would not endorse a lie. Surely God would not endorse a lie. He won't.
Right.
So, you know, if a miracle sign was done and it was trying to tell you to turn your back on the word, that'd be different. But it's not. It's a mighty ministry that came that nobody paralleled except the Lord himself and prophets of old had that kind of thing. And it made the Bible come alive to us.
Right.
It didn't. It isn't telling us, well, it don't really mean that. It means something else. No, he's not. Brother Ben didn't do that.
No.
Tell me. If he did, you tell me. He didn't. That ministry with a supernatural sign, and he's telling you right there, go right back to the word, and it means exactly what he said. He wasn't trying to tell us go somewhere else or believe something else.
Right.
See? So, all of those women received new status, and we received new status to believe it makes us bride. And so, I want to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 4, just to show you it's by seed. The seed word of God. You know, God visited, told Paul, said, Paul, you're going to go out here and you're going to preach the gospel. You're going to preach the gospel to the bride. You know, go find that Gentile. And so Paul's job is, you know, coming out, taking, and I'm going to go to all the Gentiles and I'm going to preach to them. They're going to be the Gentile bride. And so Paul is speaking to Corinthians there, and he said, I would to God that, now keep in mind what we're saying happened in the garden. Eve was supposed to have a pure womb that wasn't touched by someone else other than Adam, and the serpent got to her and impregnated her and produced another seed. Here's how Paul equates it in our day, that if you hear a different gospel than the one of, then it's a different Jesus, it's a different seed. So would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I, Paul speaking to the church, I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, which was Christ. Right? She's not married yet, but she's espoused because the marriage comes later.
Yep.
It's a time to check and make sure she doesn't get touched with the wrong seed.
Right.
So I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to who?
Christ.
So now, if something happened and she wasn't a chaste virgin to be presented to Christ, what would have happened? She wouldn't be a virgin anymore. Another seed. Right? So Paul is saying, I've been given the job to espouse you and take this Gentile bride and espouse you to Christ, but I'm afraid something's going to happen and you won't be a virgin and I won't be able to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve. What did the serpent do to Eve? Just tell her a story? No. He made her not a chaste virgin.
Right.
And people deny serpent seed. And there it is right there in the Bible.
That's right.
Just one of many places. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. See, it's back to the simple, humble gospel, not this all this big pomp and stuff from the denominations and all that. Here's how he equates it. I want you to be a virgin, but if somebody else comes and preaches a different message, then your womb is going to be touched with something wrong.
Right.
See, for if he that cometh preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received. Another spirit was that Holy Spirit, right? And Holy Spirit will always agree with the Word.
That's right.
So if you receive another, somebody preaches another Jesus, whom you not preach, receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Because look what happens, right? But we don't want a false seed. We want the original seed.
Amen.
Amen. There's the identification of the bride of Christ. She's in the Word just like He is.
Right.
And that's the only thing we have to go by. And it doesn't matter if the whole world hates it. It's still the Word.
Yeah.
And we stay with it. That's why we're a rejected people. I want to be friends with the whole world, but listen, brother, sister, I can't change. I see it. I believe it. I can't change what I know to be truth.
Right.
And I work around people, and you got politics. I hate politics. Black is black, white is white. When it's real, it's real. You know, and don't try to shade it over.
Yeah.
It is what it is. And we have to stay with it. And I trust that today that you have heard something that will help you have confidence going forward to see your identification in Scripture, because that's it. That is your identification
yes. In
Scriptures. Amen. Let's let the musicians come as we pray. Lord, we thank you for this little time with your people. And though, Lord, I have been a little longer than normal, I pray, God, that you just take these words and let it just be unfolded more and more into their hearts. May they search Scriptures daily to see that these things are so, Lord, and it would just inspire us, and we'd just be so quickened to this hour and what you're doing, Lord, that we would just step right in line and not be out of step. We pray, Lord, that you would just help each one. Lord, if they have any questions, ministry is definitely available. We just pray, God, that you just help them to find themselves in these Scriptures this way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just worship for a little bit.